touched me. Oh, he touched me.
You lift up your voice. ojú agbára lọ. Thank you for your ever-abiding presence. Thank you for your power that is at work within us. We give you all the glory, Lord. Let your name be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated and welcome to church. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so everybody understands, and everybody seems to understand that God is good, right? We seem to also believe that God is also a faithful God. Hallelujah. Amen. But I tell you one thing, so that you know how faithful God is. You know that when we buy machines, all these machines, fan or whatever, you need to periodically take them for servicing. Even the ones they say they don't need servicing, there's something that you must do to keep them running. Hallelujah. Amen. But day in, day out, year in, year out, God maintains the earth. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what I'm saying. So I was taught in school that for you to get one day, the earth rotates where? On its own axis. Abi? Don't worry if you don't know, just follow me. That's when they say do geography. Everybody will say, no, I want to do accounting because you want money. So so the earth rotates. So the earth has something like, they assume that there's an imaginary axis, and then the earth rotates around this axis. That's how you get one day. So when it completes one cycle, it's one day. And then, okay, so it revolves around the axis, and then it rotates. As it's doing that, spinning, it's moving around the sun. Now, have you ever imagined how does it not miss its path? Going round and round in circles, and it never misses its path. Going round an orbit, and it never don't miss for one day. That's the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. That's how faithful God is. He has never revisited what he created. And I think I always tell you that God, he doesn't create one thing. I say, yeah, I'm going to make Uche version 2.0. Or I will make Uche version 3.0. Then happiness will be confused. Hallelujah. Amen. What he did from the beginning was final. And that's why, because we know that what he did was final, that's why we can always look at it and say that he's faithful. Because he keeps to everything that he has told us and he has shown us in the scriptures. In Romans 15 verse 4, it says everything that was written before, they were written for our learning, so that we, through the comfort and patience of the scriptures, we might have hope. Hallelujah. So that we might have hope. So the things that were written for our learning. Now, let us see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No, before we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's really look at James chapter 5. And I think some 2 weeks back, we were looking at James chapter 5. I think we were talking about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. James chapter 5 verse 17. Before we begin to say that people are mysterious, people are what do you call it? They are just out of this world. Everybody can choose to be out of this world in the things of God if you decide to follow what God is saying. James chapter 5 verse 17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And the Bible is always very deliberate. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Hallelujah. So everything, anything at all that you can think about yourself, anything at all, the same way Elijah is. And yet he prayed. Huh? And there was no rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. That's the beauty of rain. Go to the next verse. He says he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced. Hallelujah. So he knew how to stop and start things. Amen. He knew how to stop and start things. But then the thing was that he was a man with a nature like you and I. So if you look at everybody in the scriptures, everything that has been written in the scriptures, everyone. And that was why it was important that Christ came as a man. Hallelujah. So that when we are talking about him, we will not say that he was God. He says he went through everything. He went through everything we will go through so that he could identify with our needs. Everything from beginning to the end, he went through it. The pains, the temptations, the trials, he went through it. And if he could overcome, how much more we? Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which is where I'm going, and that's where we will stay for the rest of the service. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I read from verse 1, and we are going to stop at verse 13. But it's important that I read verse 1 to 12 so that we can give context to verse 13. So it says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Amen. So if you look from verse 1 to verse 5, he's saying that everybody that is in that wilderness, they had the same spiritual food, they had the same spiritual drink, they were under the same baptism of Moses. Hallelujah. He says, and yet they did not, he says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. It says, now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Amen. Hallelujah. Meaning that with all the spiritual things that they had, okay, they were not able to resist lust and the evil things that eventually led to their end. He says, now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. He says, verse 7, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of these ages have come. Amen. So he's saying that, he's just saying the same thing that Romans 15 verse 4 is telling you. Okay? That all these things were written for our example. So it's not that we should jubilate that they died. Okay, he said we should learn from it. Hallelujah. So I was with a set of people sometime in the course of the week, and as I was with them, okay, some of them were showing that they understood what I was saying. Some were showing that they were far away from it. So the one that's understood, we're laughing at the one that did not understand. Okay? And that was not the essence. Now, the essence was, why does these ones understand? And why do you understand? Sometimes you understand things. Okay, if I talk about how to drive a car, for instance, maybe 60% of us here will understand how to drive a car. Okay? Now, because the others don't understand how to drive a car, does not make them inferior to the ones that understand how to drive a car. Because everything is based on need. Okay? Now, so it will be out of place for you to take an example of someone that knows how to do something and someone that doesn't know how to do it and then make a mockery of them. Now, he's saying that these things that you are reading, okay? If you go to Numbers, I think it's in Numbers or something, you read about what happened with the serpent. How they were grumbling, and then God said, okay, the serpent go, and the serpent was biting them, and they were dying. They were complaining. And then you look at it in this age and time, that is it possible in this Nigeria of today that you will not complain? You know, I think in 2015, when we had a change of government, then we had another change in 2019, but it wasn't changed as such. It was 2023, we had a change. And then down the line, midway, of it, towards the end of 2023, everybody said, let us go back to 2015. Because you are looking at the reality of things. The things that we call reality. That's what you are looking at. I say these are the things that is reality. But far be it. Hallelujah. The reality of things stays in God's word. So if you experience anything if you go through anything now that does not conform with God's word, it's not the reality. Hallelujah. But God just says, stay where you are because I am working something out for you. Amen. So if Joseph had not stayed in prison, you know, Joseph tried it, right? Joseph tried it. Joseph was in prison. And then, every time I'm always translating these people's name, the butler, and which one? Don't mind me. I remember it in Yoruba. So I always translate it, the butler and the baker. So which one was restored? Agboti is the butler that was restored. It was the one that was restored and the baker was killed. But you know when Joseph interpreted the dream to the butler and to the other guy, and then he told the butler that when you get out and you are restored, remember me. Huh? That's what he told the butler. And you know, if the butler had come out, and the first thing he did after he had come out was that he went to Pharaoh and said, look, Oga, I am not here because of you. There's Joseph there. You need to bring Joseph out. You know, we would not be saying this story now. I would not be learning anything from Joseph in prison and Joseph out of prison. Hallelujah. There are two different things. Joseph did not get out of prison because the butler remembered him. The Bible puts it there, all right, that once the butler came out of prison, he forgot about Joseph. Amen. Just let me look for that one. When he came out of prison, the Bible says he forgot about Joseph and then just went about his business until God's timing was near, or until God's timing came and Joseph had a dream. He took Joseph, he took Pharaoh's dream, okay, for the butler to remember that there is a Joseph in prison that can interpret. Yeah, look at it, Genesis 40:23. It says, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Amen. It was no mistake that he forgot. He said that the glory will return to God. Hallelujah. And as a timing, and I don't know who needs it, there's a timing for everything. I have said it before that if you have three phases in life, for you to be in phase A, first phase of your life, it's because the things in your first phase of life, you need them in the second phase of life. And the things you will learn in the second phase, you need it in the third phase. So no matter what you are doing, if you are not ready for the second phase, you will not be permitted to go to the second phase from phase one. Because the things you are supposed to have picked up in phase one, you did not get, so that phase two will not be difficult for you. Amen. Whatever God was making Joseph understand when he left the butler, when the butler left him in prison, we could see at the end of the matter. Because when Pharaoh eventually said, "Oh, I had a dream," the same butler that had forgotten remembered, because it was put on his heart by God. So if people come to you for help, and God makes use of you to help them, don't be forming and say, "If it was not for me, Uche would not be wearing suit." That's what some people say. If you are not for me, would you have been wearing slippers? That's what some people say. So the butler could have said that Joseph, when Joseph became prime minister, the butler would have said, "Joseph, come. Is it not me? Is it not me that went to tell Pharaoh about, in fact, you know, because of what, you have to pay me back." That's the way men react. So the Bible says, let's go back to 1 Corinthians. So it says that, verse 11, it says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for admonition upon whom the end of ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." He says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." He says, "But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make also, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Amen. Verse 13 is where we want to stop. He says that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. There's nothing new under the sun. That's what he's saying. He says every temptation that you think you are facing, it is common to man. The only reason why you have not heard it is because those ones that have experienced it have not been kind enough to share their experiences. Amen. And that's why the Bible is saying that, look, we have these things have been written so that we can admonish ourselves and we can learn from them. Hallelujah. So if you look at, it talked about that they were taken away, they were drawn away by the lust of evil things. Lust. Hallelujah. And he's saying that there's nothing that comes your way that is not common to man. So people are fond of saying that, am I the only one? Hallelujah. He says it's not so. Then he says that, "But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with that temptation, he makes a way of escape." Hallelujah. So the first thing that we established is that God is faithful. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, he said, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you." 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guide you from the evil one." Okay? God's faithfulness, we cannot toy with it. If you want to know about God's faithfulness, then we need to read the scriptures. Okay? We read it, and then we look at our lives and look at it and examine our life all over again. How faithful has he been? Amen. If everybody thinks that where he is today is by his might, and I think we read it in 1 Corinthians chapter, what did you read this morning? Chapter 4, where we're in Bible school. If anybody thinks that he has attained where he has attained because he knows everything, then he's a very miserable person, because there's nothing that you have that you have not received from God. Amen. The part that takes me the most is that he says that for every temptation, there's a way of escape to endure, or endure, provided by God. And this escape can be two different means. Number one, such as inner strength. Hallelujah. So if you look at when Joseph was in prison, it wasn't in prison for a just cause. It wasn't. It was someone told a lie. Okay? And men that are more powerful than him took him and put him in jail because they believed the lie. Okay? So there's no just cause in that. It takes somebody with inner strength to be able to go through that period. And then he was in prison and he was doing exactly the same things that he would have done when, if he were outside of prison. Okay? He was taking care of the people in prison. He was ministering to them. And the same thing that brought him to Potiphar's house, which was his dream and interpretation, he kept on in prison. Amen. He kept on doing things. He didn't say that, oh, I interpreted the dream and then I ended up in slavery. And then from slavery, I ended up in Potiphar's house and then I was doing fine there. Somebody now came to lie. Of what essence is it following God? He did not say that. And if you read what we were reading from verse 1 of chapter 10 of this First Corinthians, it was talking about the people were complaining and they were murmuring against God. Now, the same God had been taking care of them. You know that if you can't think carefully, you will not see God in things that you are doing. Plus, even when they were in slavery, okay, they were being made to do, what was this, bricks. Okay? Their tax masters would bring them materials for bricks, and then they would do it. So then they had straws and everything, and then they would make bricks. And then suddenly Moses appeared and came to them and said, the Lord God has sent me, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then he went to Pharaoh. And then he said, let my people go so that they may serve me. That's what he told him. And then Pharaoh said, it looks like you people don't have enough work to do. So he told his tax masters, stop giving them materials to make brick. It's just like, how do I say it? Let's say, Mr. Zajaja and I are living together. Okay? And he's my cook. And I say, Mr. Zajaja, I want to eat this morning. I want to eat. What can I eat that is strange? No, that one is not strange. I want to eat spaghetti bolognese. And then I give him a packet of spaghetti. I give him peas. I give him everything. I said, make sure you make it by 12 noon. And I tell him at 10 a.m. Okay, this was what I was doing. And then, of course, being the cook that is, he will go there and do everything and everything, put on, and then he will make it. And by 12, when I come, I sit down and I feel fine. And then he says, hey, sir, you cannot be coming. I'm telling me that, come and make food at this time. Because I have somewhere to go. I need to do this. I need to do that. I said, no problem. So I said, the following day, I go, I said, look, you need to make, at the same time, I said, you need to make me the same meal you made me yesterday. But this time around, it is 10 a.m. You need to go find all the ingredients and come and make it. Then he comes home and gets there and says, and then and there's no gas. You need to make food. I'm not giving you anything. Because you have so much time to be thinking that you have another thing apart from me to think about. That's what happened between Israelites, Pharaoh, and Moses. Before Moses came, the Israelites had everything. The cooker was there. All they needed to do was make sure that they had a good mix and present the brick, and then they continue building. Okay? And then Moses came, and then he said, God said, let my people go that they may serve me. And that was the problem between Pharaoh and Moses, that the people wanted to go and serve God. Say, who is God that they will go and serve him? Okay? And now, if they could think very well, even in them making those things without those raw materials, God was still providing. They were still making it. Go and read the Bible. It was difficult, but they were still making it. Their tax masters made them work. They were still making it. And then God says Moses, and Moses comes and tells them that, look, this is what the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob says. I'm going to lead you to a land that he has promised them. And then they keep moving. And then every time they go and say, come, is it because there was no food in Egypt? That's why you have brought us here. And they will complain and complain more and more. And God doesn't like that. The Bible says that the children of Israel, because of all their complaints, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited him. God will want to move. And then they will be murmuring. Because they could not appreciate what he has done for them. And so we go back to the story of Joseph. If Joseph would have been like them, see, Joseph was already in Potiphar's house. He was already in charge of everything Potiphar had. You know, Potiphar was like second in command to Pharaoh. Okay? He had everything done. He had everything. And then he said, except the wife of Potiphar was what was not in his care. And he had everything. And then the wife of Potiphar felt like She wanted Joseph to be dating her. Hallelujah. And then she was making advances to him. And Joseph was running away. Amen. I am sure that if it's in this age and time, why are you saying home? We are very disciplined men. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And when he was going to reply Potiphar's wife, what did he tell her? He said, I'll be doing something wicked against God. And then my master. He said, against God. Because my master has given me everything and I kept only you away from me. So he understood that even in his captivity, God was there with him. You know when you read Psalm 126? Please give me Psalm 126. So that I don't discourage those who don't understand my language. Let me read it in English. Psalm 126. It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, where like those who dream, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Says they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Meaning that the nations will take a look, we're looking at them, and the nations were the ones giving testimony about them, that God has done great things for them. Okay? Potiphar looked at his own life and knew that it was because of Joseph that God was blessing him. So he just put one and one together that God is with this boy or God is with this gentleman. Okay? Let me just give him everything because he has a backing that cannot be measured. Now, it will be out of place if Potiphar could see that there's God in Joseph's life that Joseph could not see that God was in his life even though he was in captivity. We talked last Sunday about that little girl from Israel, the Naaman's wife's captive girl, servant. Okay, she was in captivity. When she got to Naaman's house, she saw Naaman leprous. But then she could remember that there's a God in Israel, and she told her master's wife that look, there's a if you only you can take your husband to Israel, he will be healed of this leprosy. Why? She's not forgetting her roots. And she understands the fact that God is faithful. Hallelujah. Now, God is not a respecter of persons. Okay? What God abhors is A-B-H-O-R-S. What God detests, he detests whether you are a Christian or you are not a Christian. And that's what he was saying here. That look, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, look, despite the fact that they drank spiritual things, they ate spiritual food. They were under the baptism of Moses. He said they did things that were evil in God's sight. So their status notwithstanding, okay, what was important was that they must keep an idea to the things that will please God. Hallelujah. And the first place, if you will please him, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have faith, you cannot please God. So for you to have faith in him, how do I describe it? For you to have faith in God, that means that you've heard of him, you've experienced him, and then you know, hallelujah, that this is God. Everybody in the scriptures started from the place of hearing. And that's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You will hear about him, and then we will experience him. And then you also will propagate it. And then people begin to hear and experience God. Hallelujah. But he says, let me go back to the story of Joseph. And so Joseph was in Potiphar's house. And he wasn't even a free man. He wasn't a free man. You know, that's how people make fun of everybody that is in paid employment. That they are glorified servants. That's how they make fun of everybody. But look, despite the fact that he wasn't a free man, he was also free. But it takes you to have an understanding. He was also free because if he wanted to step out, he didn't need anybody to tell him where to go, where not to go. He had everything under his command. The only thing that was subject to Potiphar and the authorities in Egypt. Amen. Now the same man suddenly decides to stay with God. Temptation comes and he suddenly decides to stay with God. See, in his first phase, the first temptation he faced with Potiphar's wife, it was based on, he says, with every temptation comes a way of escape. Abi? A way of escape. Now, people used to do, they used to give us redos. You know what redos are? When you go for interviews, they'll say, they'll give us redos. They say that you are in a house that has no door and no window. How will you get out? What's Blessing saying? You force what? The ceiling. So those are the kind of questions they will give you. Say, no door, no window. How will you get out? Truly, for me, there's no. Did they tell you that there's a wall? Then you get out. Because if you say there's a wall, you say there's no door, no window. How will you get out? You know, sometimes some will say they didn't say there's no roof, or there's a roof. Then you go through the roof. Now, you need to begin to see these things. That's a way of escape. For Joseph, he looked at it. He was already inside the room. He was already trapped inside the room with Potiphar's wife. And she was making advances. And then he looked at it. What will he do? There has to be a way of escape. Right? So, number one, he looked at it that at least the door, he can open the door from inside. Number one. Number two, the kind of dressing they wear at those days were robes. So there's no way I can hold you by the skin. There's no way. So he left his robe. She was pulling his robe and then he took it off and ran away. So we say, he locked the room. Oh, I was inside the room and he locked the room and I could not do anything. I was just there. There's always a way of escape. Amen. There's always a way of escape. When temptations come, you have to rely on your inner strength. The first thing that Joseph did was his inner strength. He looked at it and said, no. This thing is not about me. And it's not about Potiphar. It's about God. Hallelujah. It's a temptation. It's a trial. Some people may not be tempted that way. But in all the temptations you face, there's always a way of escape. You know when we're young, and it applies to everything. Before you go to the pot to steal a piece of meat, it takes a thought process. Abi, you just decide that what they have given me is not enough. That's just, you just decide that what they have given you is not enough. And then you will not wait till everybody has gone to the room. You will not be alone close to the kitchen. And it's not when they enter the room that you go to the kitchen. Abi? It's not when they enter the room. You let them be in the room 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and be sure that they are sleeping. Don't worry. I'm just telling you stories. Not that I didn't do it. Why are you laughing? You think I did it? I'll describe it very well. So the people that gave you Passion of Christ, were they there? Did they not describe it very well? See, why my mother, I love my mother. She solved the problem so that I won't have to steal meat. When she saw that this boy, he likes meat, you know what my mother does? When she finishes cooking, she will make sure that at least 5 pieces of fried meat is left inside the fry pan on the cooker where you can see it. So that if you think that you want to eat meat, you go there and pick it. And believe you me, up to today, when I go home, I will meet it. So you say, in case you want to eat meat, it's there. So if you think that somebody is picking meat in your pot, solve the problem. Make it available. Abi? So there's no need to steal. We didn't have to steal. The only thing that we did was we would look for one cupboard under the under the rock, go and buy sweets. That's it. So I'm saying that there's always a thought process. And by the time you begin to think of these things, there's always that nudge that everybody feels to it. People that eventually go ahead, they fail to listen to. Amen. Joseph was tired of the prison. He was tired of the prison. If he wasn't tired of the prison, he wouldn't have told the butler that when you go out, remember me. But you know what? He did not give up because he continued there. And he said that everybody in that prison, they loved him. Even the prison, they loved him. And he did not give up hope. The day he was told that Pharaoh sent for him, he took his time to dress up because he had hope. He took his time to dress up to go and see Pharaoh so that he would look presentable. Amen. Hallelujah. See, there's always a way of escape. So the things that we go through, if we put God first or in the middle, in the center of our hearts, always, we are not likely to make a mistake. Absolutely. You are not likely to. And you know, when warnings come our way, or instructions come, don't do it. Those are the ways of escape that we often fail to listen to. Let me read verse 13. He says again, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. And this was why I read James chapter 5, verse 17. That look, when it comes to temptation, it is common to man. When it comes to doing extraordinary things, it is men of like nature, like us, that does it. Amen. They speak the word, they pray fervently, and things happen. Because they have access to information that makes them extraordinary. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when he says there's no temptation that's not common to man, there's nothing anybody wants to say now that is tempted of that has never happened, and that people have not, that there's no way you say somebody has not gone through this kind of temptation before. It's impossible. Oftentimes people say that these things are easier said than done. That's what they will say. But you see, our walk with God is not something that starts in one day and ends in one day. If you look at the story of Job, if you go to Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says there was a man in the land of Uz. He was blameless, he was upright, and he feared God. Abi? There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That one was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. Amen. One who feared God and shunned evil. This is the status that every man should have. Upright, blameless, and feared God. And then, and with this status, with these things of his, he said he was the richest man in the East, where this was being said. And when temptations come, and when trials come, how we stand depends on how we were before they came. Are you getting what I'm saying? It depends on how your standing before those trials come. That's what will determine how you respond in those trials. So it's just like when they tell us that we don't prepare for war in the day of war. Abi? You don't prepare for one day of war. Everybody begins. If you go to the Western world now, they will tell you they have fighter jets, this one, this one, this one. And that's why when our beloved country is issuing our threats to those Western world, everybody will say, what do we have that we are threatening the Western world? That's it. Because we know that they are preparing for war. And the war that I learned about the most was the Gulf War. When Saddam Hussein was telling them that, look, let's go for mother of all wars, it was because he had something that he was lying on. Okay? let's go for more hours. And then he looked at it. They are coming to my territory. Abi? So is, you know, when you're at home, you're very comfortable. You have everything. If you want to look for anything, everything is there. Unlike when you are going for picnic or camp, if you don't prepare well, you will need something that you forgot at home. Exactly. So the people that came to the east, to the eastern region to fight war against Iraq, they were bringing the ammunition from the west and taking it there. So the possibility that things will not be okay. And so the man kept saying, let's fight war, let's fight war, let's fight war. I said, so those ones started, fighting, and they started fighting from the air. They started fighting from the air, and they were throwing bombs from the air. You know where they were throwing bombs from the air? Because they had looked, and they found out that Saddam was telling them to come and fight war on the land because he had put landmines around. And because it's not their territory, if they come down, they will just be marching those mines and then they'll be blown off. That's why he was saying it. Because he had prepared for them. He had put everything everywhere. And then if they are bombing, there are bunkers that they were going to hide under the ground that they won't reach them. But for them, they had prepared. And so when they were in the air, they started picking out those landmines and detonating them. And then suddenly one day, they came down. And then they marched into Iraq as though it was their own country, and they overran the country. So you don't prepare for war in the day of war. You prepare well ahead. Now, you have to prepare your mind. Temptations will come. But you cannot prepare your mind for which one will come and which day will come. So how do you prepare your mind? The Bible says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? Except by the word of God. Joseph never envisaged that he would leave his father's house. He never envisaged that he would be sold into slavery. And he never envisaged that he would end up in Potiphar's house. But at each point, he kept going back and saying, this is all about God. Even when the butler remembered him before Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh called him and was giving him interpretation, Joseph said, no, I am not the one that will interpret. It will be God that will tell me what to tell you. So if you saturate your mind, saturate yourself with God, it will be easy to pick out God in the midst of any temptation. He says he is the one that provides a way of escape or endurance in the midst of temptation. So if you want to, so we looked at inner strength, and we also looked at that endurance must, we've also looked at it, because it's that endurance that made him stay, that made Joseph stay and stay where he was. Amen. And then, when God will visit him, it was like them that dreamed. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a restoration. What happened to Joseph? If he was another man, he would not have been able to replicate the goodness of God towards his brothers. But because he understood God in the midst of what he was going through, he was able not to repay them with evil, except the things that God had told him about that will happen. So the essence of us listening to all these stories and hearing these stories is so that we can learn. And when we learn, we do better than the ones that are fallen by these things. Amen. When we learn that Elijah is a man of like nature, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to be able to come out and even do better than Elijah. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you want to stop the rain, it's over to you. Why are you laughing? You don't want to stop the rain. You can stop it now. In James chapter 5, if you look at verse 16, No, let me take it from verse 13. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sin, he will be forgiven. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that's what he said before he told us that Elijah was a man of like nature. And he prayed that there should not be rain, and there was no rain. Why? Because the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. It's not the effective, fervent prayer of a prophet. Amen. And it's not the effective, fervent prayer of a pastor. It says it's the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. If everybody can take that bold step to first of all find out what the will of God is, okay? And the will of God is found in his word. Hallelujah. Find out the will of God is, and then you will pray fervently. You will see things happen. You will make things happen that no man, everybody will look and say, this is extraordinary. And the only thing that is extraordinary is that because you have latched on to God's word and to the fact that he will grant you the desires of his heart, according to his will. And that's according to his word. Amen. So it says, the effective federal prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a like nature like ours and prayed earnestly that he would not rain, and he did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So the things that God has, the ability that God has given to us is the ability to be able to do things from his own perspective and from his own way. So Elijah did not just stop and say, there's no rain, no. You see, Elijah went and said, God, please let the rain come. Because according to, as long as it's God's will, and you align with it, you'll be able to tell when to bring in his will at every point in time. So if it was his will that there will not be rain, then Elijah was praying at the right time. Amen. Just like I think I told us about the story of Daniel. Daniel in captivity. He said, the Bible says he looked by the books, and he saw that they have been in captivity for 70 years. And then, he understood by the books, and then he decided to pray, and things happened. Amen. Trials and temptations will come. Don't grumble and don't complain. If you read 1 Corinthians 10 from verse 1, complaints, God does not deal with them. So sometimes our prayers are like complaints. You don't be complaining, God, I need a pair of shoes. I want to buy this, I want to buy that, this one, and I need it because of this. And you forget that even in the condition you are praying, he was the one that brought you to that position. If you tell him your desires, and you see, and that's why before you begin to desire, because you know him, your desires will not run wild of his will. Amen. It won't run wild. So you won't want to suffocate another person and say, God, help me suffocate him. It's not going to happen. Because the Bible says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And it is his will that every man be saved. And now you want to suffocate somebody that God wants to save. How will it happen? So somebody, God wants to save somebody. You want to suffocate the person. And you're asking the same God that wants to save somebody to suffocate the same person. And you're saying God did not answer your prayer because it's not his will. You know, when we go to the marketplace, at least the way they arrange the marketplace, everybody is selling the same thing. So if you want to buy clothes, you go to the same section of the market. If you want to buy paper, you go to the same section of the market. And then somebody will pray that the person next door should not sell so that he can sell. How is it going to happen? God will bring your way the people that he has assigned to patronize you. It's not about you praying evil against other people. fact, the best thing is to always ascribe glory to God. Ensure that you keep praising God, worshiping Him. Because the Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. It's in His praise, in that praise, that He rises up. Hallelujah. Psalm 1. Don't worry, we'll finish now. No, Psalm 2, sorry. It says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then He shall speak to them in His wrath and distress them in His displeasure. Amen. It is God's responsibility to speak to people in His wrath. If we look at what He says from verse 1. He says, they imagine a vain thing. Okay? And then the nations rage, the people plot a vain thing. And then the king of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Hallelujah. The Bible doesn't tell us that the anointed begins to plot His own. It says it's for God to rise against such things. Hallelujah. What is the place of the anointed? It's in Psalm 1. This is what the anointed man should be doing. Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. Because what? He has separated himself unto the Lord. Whatever he does will prosper. And if there's any rising against him, it is for the one that he has chosen to stay with to rise up against those oppression. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Let's just talk to God. Let's thank Him. Thank you because we are going to be strengthened from our inner mind. Thank Him because we are walking with Him on a daily basis. Our meditation, the meditation of our hearts, the words of our mouth, they align with our thoughts. And indeed, that they align with what God expects of us. So we will be able to make a way of escape. But we need to be able to see that He's making a way. And if we are not conversant with Him, we will not be able to see. So let's thank Him. Because we do not get derailed from our path with God. We do not deviate. We do not drift. But we stay on course because He's our God. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. Thank you because in all these temptations, in all these common things to men, that we are able to well overcome because you are our God. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Let your name be exalted, Lord. In Jesus' name.